Let me start by simply calling attention to the question I pose as my sermon title this morning. Are you a people pleaser or a God pleaser? Because I think the answer to that question lies within both of our readings this morning. And of course, I suspect you know the answer that we're going to receive from these readings is probably the obvious one, to be God pleasers rather than people pleasers. And I probably should at least point out at the beginning, these two things are not mutually exclusive. I mean, if you're trying to please God, hopefully you will please some people, probably not all. And if you're pleasing people, that probably pleases God to some degree. So it's not like if you're setting out to please God, no one's going to be pleased by that. But the point here behind both these readings and that question is the bottom line. What is our primary motivation? Is it pleasing people or pleasing God? Now, Paul comes right out pretty clearly on which side he falls. And he does it in the context of reminding the Thessalonians of how he and the other apostles behaved with them. He says, "When we were with you, we had the courage through God to share God's good news." Notice God's good news, not any one particular person or apostle's good news. We shared God's good news, the God who examines our hearts and our motives. And that's in the midst of which Paul says, "Thus we set out in everything not to please people, but always to please God." And I actually think Jesus is saying something very similar, but he's saying it more subtly in the passage from Matthew this morning. The Pharisees, who incidentally I think were all about pleasing people, I mean the Pharisees were all about appearances, what's on the surface, putting on a good show for people. The Pharisees think they've trapped Jesus once again. They were always trying to trap him. You see, that's one thing. If you're trying to please people, you're always going to find yourself walking into minefields. I'll get back to that. But the Pharisees think by asking Jesus certain questions, they can trap him. So they ask him, "What's the greatest commandment of all the commandments?" Not just the 10 commandments, but all of God's law and commandments. What's the greatest? And they think they've tripped him up because whatever Jesus says, they think someone's going to get upset. So if he says the greatest commandment is thou shalt not kill, someone's going to say, "Hey, what about my father and mother? Or what about coveting? That's always been my favorite commandment," you know. So Jesus instead says, and notice he never answers exactly the way they want. He actually gives two answers. But he says, first, the greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being, all your mind. Love God first. And the second commandment is like it. Not quite as great, but right up there. And that is, love your neighbor as yourself. You notice? Love God. Please God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then worry about pleasing people. God is first and foremost. Please God. Now, there is good theological reason for this. And I think there's a good practical reason for this. To try and please God rather than trying to please people. The theological reason, I hope, is fairly clear. It's God. God who created everything. God who is our Savior, our Redeemer, the Judge. God who's in charge of everything. That's the opinion we should care about the most. Because it's God. Now, I think there's a corollary to that, which is God is also loving and merciful and forgiving, and more loving and merciful and forgiving than any human being. So if you set out to please God and you don't quite hit the mark, which none of us ever do, God is forgiving. Which is not always the case with people. Thus, let me move to the practical reason to set out always to please God rather than people. And you already, I suspect, know it. You can't please all the people all the time. In fact, there are some people you can't please anytime. If you set out to please people, you are setting yourself up for misery and failure and burnout and probably quickly a trip to the cardiac ward. You can't please all the people all the time. And thus, what are you going to do? Choose certain people to please and not others? And then you really get into a minefield. It's tough to please people. You know that. It's not that tough to please God. It's not easy, but it's a lot easier than pleasing people. And let me just speak from experience as a pastor. If I set out to please each and every one of you, well, please come visit me in the hospital in about 20 minutes. There's no way. It's just impossible. You can't please people. You've got to set out to please God. And for example, let me just talk about worship services. Over my 17 plus years as a pastor, I have heard complaints about every single element of worship. I've had people say to me, "Oh, I hate those hymns. Why do we have to sing hymns? Why do we have to sing so many verses of the hymns? Why do you pick such awful hymns? Can't we just sing Amazing Grace every week?" I've had people complain about children's time. Why do you waste our time talking to the kids? I've heard this complaint over the years. I've had people complain about prayers. I've had people complain about, they're too long, they're too short. I've had people complain about, let's sing the doxology. Why don't we sing the doxology? Can't we say the creed? How come we never say the creed? And we're just talking about worship here. I haven't even moved to the air conditioning or the banners, it's a minefield to try to please people. You know this. And this is why Scripture keeps telling us, set out to please God. Now, along the way, you will please some people, hopefully. You also will not please some people. But at least you'll be striving to please God. This is drawing upon, remember last week we talked about following God. That's got to be our bottom line. We're going to fall short. We may even disagree about how to follow God or what that means, what path to go down. But we've always got to be guided by that principle. What does God want us to do? Regardless of what any person or people might want us to do. Now it's tough. It requires discernment. It requires prayer. Because one of the problems is people speak a lot louder than God does most of the time. If God spoke as loud as many of you do, we would have no problem. But people are here and speak loudly. God is often using a still, small, quiet voice that we have to listen for and figure out together. But whose opinion do you really care about ultimately in the end? God's or any individual? That's, I believe, my task as your pastor, to help guide us to figure out what God is calling us to do. It's our task, I think, as individual Christians at every moment. What is God wanting me to do here? Regardless of what all the people's voices may be saying. It takes, as Paul says, a certain amount of courage to do that. But that's what we are called to do. So I invite you this week simply to live with this question in your own life. What's your bottom line? Are you striving to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? It's a tough question because we're human. We want to please people. I hope you saw the bulletin cover. I like that. I'm a recovering people pleaser. Is that okay? We want to please people because people are what seem closest around us. As your pastor, I want every single one of you to be pleased all the time. But I have no illusion about that. So always our focus is, how do we please God? It's tough enough figuring that one out. Amen.